You want to guess the color of my underwear, babes? Do you want to see what I've got going on down there? Do you? Are you sure?
Try it. Bite it. Lick it. Spit it. Pull it to the side. Get all up in it.
When I started, we didn't even have email. Now my lyrics written on your boobies. That's my... By the way...
Wait, what's that from?
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say something really controversial.
That was fast.
And it's going to be something that I think is going to like really shock the audience. But I'm personally...
Let me ask the audience.
Like prepared to say this. Okay. And I'm okay with saying it. I understand that like Brat is like an album about Charli XCX. Mm-hmm. And I get that she doesn't have features on it, right? Like she has the remixes with like Addison Rae. She has like Robin. She has Young Lean. She has like people on the remixes, yeah. Right? But like the album is Charli. It's all Charli. Charli all the way down, aside from obviously like the AG Cook of it all and the producers.
Yeah.
I just want to say, imagine Brat, and it's the same, but the title track is the 360 remix. Just think about it.
Diva, I already made an edit where I like moved everything around, took out a few songs.
Well, your edit is crazy, and I've
got a lot of positive responses. I've had multiple people say this.
I don't want to co-sign your malicious gay faggotry in rearranging a woman's art. You think that you can tell Charli XCX what kind of music to make?
But I can't.
I'm telling her how to highlight the music she already made.
I believe
in her vision. I believe in the way that those titles tracks are done. I believe in the album order. You, as a gay man, think that you can come in here and change the order of the album and make it better because you think you're a better musician than Charli XCX. See, I don't think that. But I just think that she should have put 360 Remix as the title track. That's it. And you know what? Crucify me. But at least I'm not telling her that Spring Breakers should be different placements in the album because it's there for a reason. And if you're a real girl, if you're a real party girl, if you're out there 365 party girl life, then you would get where Spring Breakers falls in the album and why it's there, but you don't because you're not out there like that and you're not that girl and you will never be that girl, and that's fine.
I can't respond to that. There's nothing left to say. Well, all I can say
is, can you tell that I'm Charli amped the fuck up today?
Charli's in the bloodstream.
Did a little line, did a little key. That's out of order, but that's why I'm like this right now. Mm-hmm. Had a matcha latte this morning.
That's
and then
you doing a line.
Celsius.
It's a Celsius and a matcha back to back.
Literally. No, seriously. I had a Celsius before the club and then a Red Bull over ice. So delicious.
Red Bull is good over ice, let's be honest.
And I have to say, I'm not telling you guys where I've been going. I'm not like putting it on like that, but there is like a new-ish space in Philadelphia that is so much fun. I mean, it's a remodel of an existing space, but the
little
room
rebranding.
The room that used to be there, we did accidentally wander into it before we found where we actually wanted to be. And let me tell you, so we went to this place for my birthday, and like I thought the room that we were in was the room that we were in for my birthday, but I guess I got like mixed up about what it was like. To be fair, I was also like off of like two edibles on my birthday, but that's a different story. So we walked into this room at this club, Matt, and shout out to my roommate who made the executive decision to literally hightail it out of there before a violent crime happened. But the DJ remixed MIA Paper Planes into Taylor Swift Cruel Summer. And
no.
I went in, and when I walked into the other room.
Sorry, wait, I need like a second there to like.
Yeah, when I walked into the other room, it was like slow jams, but it was because they were turning the DJ over because we got there like at 11.
Okay.
And when I walked into this other room, they were playing Britney Spears, and I was like, oh, let's go in the Britney Spears room, obviously.
Please. Yeah.
But as my roommate pointed out, it's Polly, shout out Polly. It was Britney Spears in like the incorrect way where you're just playing Britney Spears for like the top 40 moment. You're not playing Britney Spears because you get it.
You're not like actually mixing it right. Yeah.
We're playing at Paper Planes, and we all looked at each other like, whoa,
that's a choice.
Paper Planes in the club. It's 2024. That's crazy.
Like, could be done right. Could be.
And then the music literally goes, and then it's Taylor Swift, Cruel Summer, and we all
jail.
I felt like an anvil like fell out of the sky and crushed me like a fucking
pancake. It's a Looney Tunes where you start running like in place and like
so we booked it out of there, and then we found the correct room finally, and the DJ had transitioned over, and within like 10 minutes she was playing Guest by Charlie XCX, and then basically mixed then the entire Brat album, like the upbeat songs, you know, obviously not like the sad ones, into like a 3-hour set, and we were there until they kicked us out at 2 a.m. and it was amazing. So much fun. But it was now the third good experience I've had at this club, and I'm like, okay, I gotta keep this place a secret, because I can already tell some of the like Woody's crowd filters in occasionally, right? Because like, this is the thing,
some cross-contamination.
Every club needs to have a top 40 room to like keep the normies contained in their kennel, you know, like you need a place for the girls in jean shorts and camisoles and Converse to go with their boyfriends, like
guys who sit with their arms crossed in the corner,
the top 40 room is like the Brita filter of the club, you know. it's sort of like filtering out the bacteria. It's sort of like the thing that you boil your water in when you go camping, and then you can drink the pure life spring of
you're like after reverse osmosis.
But the dangers are when you have them on the same floor like this place does.
They start to
come a point when they're like, oh my god, like let's go like check out the other room, and those
you're like actually
those,
I'm gonna
like,
gatekeep
filtered
inside
in.
The club like you're
I'm
not
literally
in
like a fake Dolce and Gabbana dress. It's fake because obviously it just looks like it's obviously supposed to be Dolce and Gabbana. If everyone knows the D and the G dresses, where they're like little mini dresses and they have like a D and a G. They're like vintage by this point in metal. They were part of those whole collections where they would do the like,
ooh, bless you.
Like big lettered jewelry. Yeah. It's like a classic Dolce & Gabbana look. Obviously, I would not wear Dolce & Gabbana, but the dress is obviously fake Dolce & Gabbana. Like it's recreating that vibe. And it's like literally, Matt, it's like you basically wear panties with it. It's a whole pussy out dress. Like literally your entire pussy's hanging out. Like the bottom half of your cheeks are at the back of the dress, right? I also just have a fat ass. It's
obviously
it's that
time of the year, you know?
Yeah. But anyways, like I was in one of those and like we're all in like cunty little like outfits and our big heels and we're shaking our ass. I'm literally like touching the ground multiple times with my ass, right? And in walks the girls in the jean shorts and their boyfriends, and they literally stand in the center of the dance floor, and they're like, oh my god, it's like crazy in here, like it's so crazy.
They're
what
like
is this
near
music?
Some gay people, they're like, what is happening, like what's going on?
There's like three gay guys in a K-hole and some like blackout lesbians, and then like these fucking normies that look like they're here on their like
bachelorette party
honeymoon with their boyfriends, and the boyfriends are in like white polos.
They took like
and,
the
like,
Uber XL
shorts
from like the suburbs. Yeah.
And the girls all have like a balayage, and literally one of them turned to their boyfriend at this one point and she's like, oh my god, the music in here is so crazy. Like, what is this? And they just sort of like stood in the middle of the dance floor Snapchatting for like 20 minutes.
What is up with straight people in Snapchat? It's like,
and I gotta
keeping
say
it alive.
Like, did I just essentially like bump my way into them shaking ass and like throwing it?
Whoops,
yeah,
my fat
because
ass
I'm like
is in the way. Oh,
sorry, but like I don't come into a space where there is a trans goth DJ spinning like acid house
unless you know
and
what
Charlie
you're doing.
XCX, yeah, and stand in the middle of the dance floor. Don't do it.
I hate it.
And then I almost did fight some faggots. Oh. I actually almost started a fight in the club in like a very dangerous way.
Were they
not
being
dangerous,
rude to you?
I'm being
or
hyperbolic.
Like, were they getting in your
not
way?
Not to lie, but I did turn to one of our friends at one point because there was the guy in the K-hole who was also probably blackout drunk. This 5'2" faggot. Sorry. Who literally kept like fully falling into me and like bumping into us and
that
like
would,
shoving his way through. And then he would do that
allowed.
Thing where he would like want to be in our space, but we would be standing there or dancing there, and he'd try to like wedge into us yelling, and his friends would have to like pull him by the collar. Like literally one of his friends like picked him
get
up by the collar of his neck.
If you
to
have
be, like,
to do that, get out of the club. Like put them in the Uber home.
And
like, get out.
At one point I didn't realize that he was standing right behind me after one of his episodes, and I turned to our friend, shout out Kirby, and I just was like, Kirby, I swear I'm about to beat this faggot's ass, like I'm so serious. And then I like was spinning around
like,
dancing,
jump,
and I
jump.
Saw like three of his friends like glaring at me, and I was like, oh, you know, Charlie, like it is it is the correct time to beef with people in the club when they're doing government hooker into Everything Is Romantic. Oh. Like, that is the correct point.
Oh, I need that.
It was
so,
really good.
I need that so
Did
badly.
I know, like, nothing like screaming the lyrics to a remix of Government Hooker over, like, a brat beat. I'm sorry. It really fixed
those,
me.
The girls of the balayage were literally, like, looking at TV static. And,
oh,
like,
no. They were gone. They were gone.
Oh, that, they couldn't even get that far.
They never can stand more than, like, 10 minutes, right? There's, like, Madonna erotica style, like, visuals up on the, like, visual boards.
Yes.
And they kept, like, Snapchatting it. Like, oh, my God.
This is,
like,
crazy.
There's girls in, like, butterfly masks and, like, Madonna with her boobs out. Like, that's so crazy. Like,
oh, Lord.
Sir, like, no offense, this isn't basement. Like, I don't know what you expected when you came here. Like, we're in the middle of the fucking gayborhood. This is about as normie as a cool bar gets. And, like, if this is too much for you,
if you can't hang,
like, go to Woody's. They make a bar just for you now, right? They have a gay themed straight bar that you can go to across the street. You can
leave
us alone.
A gay themed straight bar? That's amazing.
That's the joke that I stole off of TikTok. I don't want to say that I'm, like, a native Philadelphian who, like, invented that. That's, like, a thing I see everywhere now. But they call Woody's a gay themed straight bar, which it is.
That's,
if you go
hilarious.
There, like I think at one point what I read based on the comments section of, like, the Philadelphia gay websites that I read and, like, the TikTok accounts is that, like, at a certain point the jocks figured out, like, from Temple especially and just, like, the different, like, universities around the city figured out that, like, straight girls go there to drink for free and, like, dance to pop music. So all the jocks came, which is, like, a classic story. This happened in San Francisco too, where they're like, oh, the straight girls go to Badlands, like, let's go to Badlands in our polo shirts and golf shorts, you know, like, that's where we can pick up girls. So now it just is, like, a straight pickup bar in the middle of the gayborhood with, like, gay themed bartenders.
She must be avoided.
LGBT bartenders. But yeah, what did you do this weekend? You had some fun. You partied.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
hung out.
Oh yeah, I know. And I got to meet friend of the pod Toshio from Sad Francisco Pod. Always recommend.
Yeah, shout out Sad Francisco.
It's funny enough, they just did some episodes too that are very related to our series right now with Nikki Jizz, local drag queen San Francisco, and also even Lady Bunny. So really about politics and drag and Zionism.
Hell yeah.
And how a lot of drag queens were some of the first, like, culture people to really speak out against Zionism and Israel.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of good stuff. And yeah, I took some photos for them that you'll see soon. So those will be fun. But otherwise, a girl's on the budget right now for reasons I'll disclose later. So
are you going to disclose?
I've not been out. I will eventually once things are settled. But if you know, you know. But I'm not at the club right now. I'm trying to save it all for, like, when Pride's actually happening here. So I've yet to hear 365 in the club, and it hurts. It hurts so
bad. It really works. But I'll say, like, if I was to
But it'll
rank,
be there. It'll be happening.
Obviously, on the album, Everything Is Romantic is sort of, like, mid-tempo-y vibes.
Yeah.
But I'll say the ranking of, like, the energy in the room. Number one was Guess. For a
Guess
bonus track
a
that has
yeah.
basically only been out like 3-4 days, everyone knew every single word and they could hear the DJ, like, starting to mix it into a different beat. Like, you could hear the stems, like, underneath another song, and people were like, as soon as,
like,
they heard the, like,
screaming
fade of those stems, like, people started screaming. Like, literally, people are hungry for Charlie. And so I think the highest energy was Guess. And then, shockingly, people really went up for Everything Is Romantic. Because, again,
oh,
it was all,
one of,
like,
my
mixed,
faves,
right?
Honestly, I fucking love that track. I'm dying for, like, a remix album, too. Like, I
yeah,
need the four-hour,
like,
set. I want that
the way,
set, actually.
I wish I had the DJ. I wish I had the DJ's name, because I would love
I
to give them a shout-out. But the way that they mixed Everything Is Romantic was, like, you know, like, very, very good. And
yeah.
so much fun. And then, also, like, 365... It is as good as you feel in the
it
club
is
as
that,
it is
it
in
is
your
that
headphones.
Song,
like,
honestly, like,
and the
that
way
girl.
That she describes it, where she's like, and then you're going into the bathroom, and then you're going into the other yeah. room, but you're fucked up now, and it's like everything's all blurry.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what that feels like, and I was like, whoa, she knows what she's doing. So yeah, it was a really good time, but we are on a little bit of a time budget today,
oh,
which
yeah,
is
yeah,
why
yeah.
we spend 15 minutes talking about Charlie XCX.
Again.
So let's get through these skips. Why don't you tell me what's going on?
We got, it's been an odd week in the news. We have...
It has been a really weird week in the news.
This is just an interesting collection here. We got...
Blake. We do have a, by the way, a brat-themed episode this week that I think everyone's going to be really excited about. We're doing a episode about brat and some chart positions and some tomfoolery and some Taylor Swift.
Ooh. and the embargo might be lifted. This week we
can you imagine if this is the episode that gets us canceled?
I mean,
I think we can't put Taylor Swift in the title because
we'll have to think. We'll have to think carefully about that one. Yeah,
we're playing with fire
as needed. This week we got for skips. Blake Lively jokes about Sister the Traveling Pants sequel while wearing $19,000 jeans.
Great.
Gag order will prevent Sam Asghari from talking about Britney Spears on The Traitors.
I know he's like sweating because like literally
Willie,
what else would they bring him on The Traitors
what
for?
Does it's he like, do what is
like when
to,
you yeah. That is my worst fear, by the way, not to say that I'm in any way or will ever be in any way similar to Britney Spears, but like my worst fear is having an ex who is only known because they're my ex and just goes around talking about me on like meninist rights podcasts and like reality TV shows called like I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Like that's truly a nightmare.
It is the worst. And that's the thing about The Traitors is I'm like, you guys need to avoid being in like that.
Yeah.
Inner circle, like incestuous circle.
I can't, I just can't deal with any more Scandoval content. If they bring up Scandoval or like,
I mean, they're going to, because Tom Sandoval's on it. Like they're going to do it.
I can't deal with it. It is like purged from my system.
Yeah. Like it's too much now. We also have PK Kemsley from Beverly Hills admitting he's 6 months sober amid Dorit Kemsley separation, quote, grateful and proud. Not much more to that, honestly. Ben Affleck spends time with Jennifer Garner on Father's Day as Jennifer Lopez calls him a hero amid marital woes.
Now, I want to give a shout out to Emily Kirkpatrick, who pointed out, writer, has an incredibly funny an incredibly funny newsletter, I Heart Mess, and it's I, and then the like the typed heart mess, who pointed out that, quote, based off this radical shift in Father's Day post alone, these two are deaf getting divorced. And it's the photo that Jennifer posted of Ben this year versus the like thirst trap happy Father's Day daddy
I remember
post
that, last
that she
year.
Did that last year.
We did
year.
That last yep. year on Skips.
Yep, we literally did that last year. So anyways, shout out Emily Kirkpatrick, who literally said that because of that specifically, they are definitely getting a divorce.
Yeah, it's bad. And then
that said, I do root for their love.
Well,
I
want
their crazy
work.
Love.
We want to work,
I want those crazy. I want those crazy kids to work it out.
And then I hate to even include this, but I kind of had to. Just as like, if this show is like the submarine and there's like the radar, this is like a blip in the distance that we'll hopefully steer from. But Armie Hammer is now breaking silence on cannibalism accusations. "Quote: I'm really grateful for it." I read the like podcast transcription summary, and I was like, this is really dark.
You know, I'll say this.
Because it wasn't just the cannibalism. Other accusations. And no one is bringing up. Yeah.
Okay, you literally hit the nail on the head about the Page
crazy.
Six. Like, the Page Six TMZification of the cannibal thing was, like, the way that it has become Armie Hammer got called a cannibal, and that is the story now for why he's not a celebrity anymore, or at least is like so maligned, is crazy and misogynistic and exactly like what we've been talking about on this podcast for 10
years.
They
literally frame it as like, oh, that crazy thing that happened.
Oh, the crazy. And that's marketing. But then, like, I mean, that's PR.
And
obviously
then very
doing
small
that.
Part of the top is like accused of also rape and sexual assault. Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah. What? Anyway,
okay.
Let's get into some main stories. I really wanted to bring up very quickly, you're watching Love Island US, right?
Oh, absolutely. But I did have to turn it off last night because
the most recent episode, the Sunday one?
Just in general. I think I'm on episode 2.
Oh. Okay.
Or maybe episode 3. But there was a conversation where this girl goes, "You're so sporty." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm super fit. You're super fit too, babe. You're so fucking hot." Sorry. They're not British. They're American. He's like, "You're so hot." And she's
well,
like,
one
"Thanks,
of them is
you're
British.
Super fit too." Yeah.
But they're starting
and
to like
she's
tick
like,
on the words.
"I love guys who are fit." And he's like, "Yeah, I really like girls who are fit too." And then there's this one guy who keeps saying over and over again that he really wants a girl with fair complexion. And I was like, I was like, it was like 11:30 last night and I was tired and I heard the words like fair complexion like maybe 15 times unchallenged and I was like, you know what, I can't do this right now. Like, I actually can't do this. We also got like these two people being like, what was the one about Ed Sheeran where he was like, Ed Sheeran's like so basic, and she's like, really, I love Ed Sheeran, and he's like, no, see, it's so boring. Like, I like it when music is like kind of is like deep and means something.
No,
and
these are like, the dumbest. Really? And I was these like, are the okay. dumbest people I've ever seen on TV.
I like, just was like, I can't. I actually like psychically cannot confront the like dismantling of the public education system on Love Island. Like, I actually don't think I can.
The state
do
of
it,
like
right?
Americans, yeah, and all of them being
it's
like
just
in
like,
their early 20s.
Hard. But I will say, like, I think the problem I have with American Love Island is the problem I have with like most American reality TV shows that are like competition based, like Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. Where like when I watch like a British dating show, like Love Island UK, I like it because it is funny to be like, look at these ridiculous British men and
oh, yeah.
these like funny
the
British
UK
ladies.
The UK aspect is most of why I'm there.
But when it's the Americans,
it's too
I'm
real.
Like,
it's too real.
It's like you know, when it's the British men, it's like, oh, that's their problem. Like, I don't actually have to interface with this. But when it's Americans,
it's too real.
And I like see what we're quote up against, it's like, whoa, I actually can't like be this close to the beast because it's too
oh,
much.
The only
too
I can
real.
Watch it is while I'm like doing something on my computer or like playing Dark Souls. Like,
yeah, because it's like I scroll through Hinge or whatever on like a whim for fun
like,
in the middle of the night.
These are the bad
and
people.
I'm like, whoa, this is a really crazy vibe. Why is your bio like the most insane thing I've ever seen someone just casually say about themselves online? And then I watch Love Island and I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, for instance,
these are those
perfect
people.
I saw this one, I sent it to my friend as one of the like profile like tip yep. things on Hinge is like, I'm weirdly attracted to.
Oh yeah.
And it was
prompts.
Girls in white Converse. And I was like, okay, Love Island, like literally Love Island.
It's like you
no,
literally read and you're
I'm
like,
saying.
Are you a real person? Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Where I'm like, okay, I actually can't handle this.
Oh no, the
I can't
people
this.
They have put on this season are the dumbest people alive. Like, they have conversations that fully like cause sparks in my brain to fly because I can't process anything. But I was gonna say Ariana Maddox, like
she
literally,
hot.
I'm really, I literally like gasped when she walked
but
in.
But she
that
is giving a little
look.
Ariana Grande with the tan. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, they were like, island, yeah, you're on an island area. Let's like do yeah. this aesthetic. And you're like, oh.
They, she was in the tanning booth and they were like, okay, here's the tan. And then she was like, darker. No darker. No darker. I'm gonna need you to go darker. One more time. Let's go. Let's go a little darker.
But like, I will say, just from her presentation alone,
oh,
I'm like, this is
she's,
it. She's like,
she's
how can she come
for
back?
This.
How can she come back?
That's
to
what
Vanderpump
I'm saying.
Rules?
Is it's like,
like, are
honestly,
they really gonna cut to her next season? She's like, just got back from Fiji. Like, I can't
that's
even
what I'm
imagine
saying.
It.
I just, I'm happy that she has outgrown Vanderpump Rules, but
she's
I actually don't
star.
Want her to go back. I don't want her to go back because it ruins.
I want to see her on other things now,
yeah.
not Vanderpump Rules.
So I want to talk about what is going on with Alexis Bledel.
I just had to put this because I'm very close to catching up on OC. I'm now in season 16 where Shannon and John Jansen are like actually good.
Yes.
And literally I'm just watching a scene where Shannon's like, oh my God, I mean, things could get so physical in the bedroom. And John's like, well, that's because of me. And then I'm doing the notes of the pod and I see Alexis Bledel admits she needs vaginal rejuvenation after having sex with John Jansen more than, quote, 4 times a day.
Now, can I say something problematic or at least maybe misogynistic?
Oh, I think you're going to say probably something similar that I was going to say.
Here's what I want to say. You know when gay guys are like, oh, my hole is like so
no,
big. Or like, oh, I'm such
yes,
a greedy bottom.
Exactly.
Oh,
right.
My God. I could take dick 3 days. Like, you know, like those yeah. gay guys that are like hypersexual and
the
like
ones who like I have 12
way.
Loads in me right now
like, yeah like oh always be taking
as
loads.
I walk to the
yeah.
BART station like.
They like they are like on Twitter posting like mm-hmm. like cum dump central like yeah. need daddy's cock 24/7 you know that type of gay guy is the same energy as like a celebrity usually women who are like oh my God, I'm literally having sex like 16 times a day.
Yeah, it's the
and
ones
like,
who have like a new
liter-
relationship where they're
like,
finally having
he can
sex for the
come,
first time.
Like 14 times and like his dick is so big and like I literally need vaginal rejuvenation because he always
my
wants
orgasms
me.
Orgasms are like 6 hours long and like.
And can I tell you what the real thing is at the root of this? It's insecurity. Every
yes,
single time
yes.
it's insecurity.
And they're almost
you're
always
talking
lying.
Like this because you're insecure.
They're almost
you're
always
talking
lying.
About it like this because you don't actually think one. that there's probably something like in your relationship that is not functioning correctly, or there are people outside of your relationship that are questioning it. And so you're feeling the need to like overcorrect by saying like, well, I mean, he wants me so bad. I'm so desirable. Like he can't keep his hands off me. It's like, okay, Melissa Gorga, keep it real with us right now.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Larsa did the same thing. She's like, we're having sex 5 times a day. And then like they ask her later. She's like, 3 times a day. And they're like, and then they break up and you're like, was that even really happening, girl?
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's also just not true.
No, it's not. Like, and you have children and like a job. Like, I just don't see how that's actually happening. Like explain to me how that's happening.
No offense to John Jansen, but he's in his like late 50s. I just don't.
I mean,
think
he could be doing it, but I think they're like.
No, you know, I'm not.
They're
gonna,
just doing
not
some
to,
quick things.
Not
is
to
all I'm
age
say.
Shame yeah. men, but I don't think a 58 year old man is shooting 4 loads a day every
if he
single
is,
day.
It's
I'm sorry,
not like. It's,
I just
it's
don't
quickly,
think that's
maybe.
True, and it's like she's obviously doing this because for those of you who don't know, no. Alexis Bellino was called Jesus Juggs on The Real Housewives of Orange County. She's like a. Was a Christian housewife,
but also
really...
she was dating a shit man, horrible guy. So this is the
well,
thing too: is it's usually
not
when
dating, yeah. married to like a
with
horrible
children,
man,
true
with children. Yeah. She divorces him. She starts doing like gay weddings. Is like a proud LGBTQIA plus ally, as she has said. She is like sort of in the whole like, oh my god, I was in a religion that was like bad, and now I'm like free, and I'm ready to express myself and like be the real Alexis. And she's
so
coming
saying,
back
this
to
is
TV.
Always what happens when these people do be, this is they yes. do the like, oh my god, I'm sick be, so much. Like, please buy my like rose toy on Instagram. Like,
because the night, as you will remember, Shannon Bedore crashed her car into a house and then took her dog out of the car and pretended to be walking the dog when the police came to pick her up. The dog is fine for the record, but she was going
Archie.
Through a breakup with John Jansen, who is now dating Alexis. And he had started dating the old co-worker of hers, Alexis Bellino, who, by the way, Jim Bellino, her ex-husband, had recently sued Shannon Bedore for a
yes.
shit ton of money for defaming
yes.
her. He ended up, I think, losing the defamation.
He did,
but like
yeah.
he basically like tangled her up in legal fees for years over it. So she hates Alexis, even though Alexis has said she had nothing to do with it. But
yeah, and they were separated.
In a way
that
is obviously very much getting back at Shannon. Alexis pursued Shannon's ex-boyfriend John Jansen, who this most recent season, not to spoil things for you, was accused
oh,
of
I
like
know. Yeah.
publicly humiliating and berating Shannon behind closed doors and calling her all sorts of bad names and like just like not being a very nice person to her. She has
now
like,
my question is, I mean, is this like something that happens by that season? Because right now it's
yeah.
like all perfect and roses
well,
the way
they
portray
like,
it at least.
Well, they're like, you know, Shannon, he tells all of us that he's only dating you to be on camera and he hates your body and he
oh.
thinks you're ugly and like he tells everyone he doesn't like you. Like it's like that type of shit, which is fucked up, right?
Oof,
so the night that Shannon crashed the car, she had ran into Alexis Bellino at, you'll never believe it, The Quiet Woman.
Yes, of course, because they literally live at The Quiet Woman.
Yeah. So that is something that is like coming up now is that like she, this is part of it that she's like sort of like going around town now talking about how great their sex life is. It's just like keying things up for like a really dramatic season, obviously. So I'm ready to see it, but there's so much to go on. I also want to say Katy Perry.
Oh, let's get into it. I want your thoughts
okay.
on this.
Shout out to the person who tweeted, what was the Arca album again?
Which one? The most recent? Like Kick?
The one with Kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, they were like, honey, we have Kick at home. And then the caption was the Kick at home. And it's a photo of Katy Perry's new album art.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, so Katy Perry's in this like rebrand, right? Where she's trying
yeah,
to come back. She's trying to like sort of tap into the Charlie, but really is then bypassing Charlie to go straight to Camila Cabello and is sort of like bypassing
he's trying to also
her
be Charlie, but
to
like,
go to Addison yeah. Rae. It's mm. like she's doing Addison by Ray of Charlie by Ray by way of Camila. It's like very boring and sad. And like, you know, she's been sort of keying herself up for like a edgy rebrand, like a cyber girl, club girl.
No, it's
raver
fully like a new concept
rebrand.
For her that
yeah.
has not been done before.
Yeah, it's like sort of appropriative in the way that like Bon Appetit was appropriative, but like just in a different direction.
Wait,
and I'm not
mean,
even getting into
that?
Like, Like, you remember how, like, during the, like, Bon Appetit and then that song that she did with, like, the basketball court, remember how she was just, like...
Oh, okay.
She was doing, Bon Appetit, like, the some, magazine. Like, weird, like... No, Bon Appetit, the song.
That was,
like,
a really dark era.
The song is, like, pretty... It's not a bad song no, by they're any all boppy. Means, but I mean, it's all very songs much are like boppy. It's very much like you're adopting this like fake Miley Cyrus bangers persona because you think that that's in, but you're late to it, right? So it reads like just
no. This would have made
weird.
Sense like 4 years ago, maybe. This would have been like yeah. A
and so this is reading the same, but I think that she really is like trying to be like, look, I'm edgy, and it's interesting that like. Charlie XCX has been saying everyone wants to be her in the pop world. And I think we're just seeing that more and more. Yeah. People really do want to be Charlie XCX. Like,
they do.
I think that we can say pretty definitively that like she doesn't have the sort of like incredible mainstream appeal of like the Taylor Swifts or yeah. the Katy Perrys even. Katy Perry has sold more records than Charlie XCX will probably ever sell in her entire life. Yeah. And that's fine, right? But I think in her peer group of pop music, I think we can definitely see how Charlie is like setting the terms of engagement for everybody in her immediate vicinity. And also now as far as like Katy Perry. And that's funny to watch because like, I don't know. It's just interesting that like we're in this moment now because we started to go in that like everyone wanted to make like wholesome wellness music. We just got like the wellness album from Dua. I think the first domino in like the mainstream
what was
wellness
Lorde,
era
Lorde's
was
2021
like,
album.
It's
Solar
like
Power,
funny because like Solar that. Power yeah. was, as she said, satire or like commentary, parody, whatever she wants to call it. The yeah. narrative changed so much about that album. But like the domino that set in motion was like everyone was sort of making their like hashtag clean girl, like
well,
healthy
people were
girl,
putting her song
wellness,
over,
mental
like,
health check-in albums. Yeah.
She's literally putting her song over ads for like Cymbalta or something.
Yeah, like I think that kickstarted like a really weird era of pop music. And it wasn't necessarily the foundation for it, but it was sort of like a
I'm
herald
sure
of a different
some, like,
time.
COVID, you know, like wrapped up in
yeah,
there.
We got some like reactionary COVID club music and like dancey music, but it was more like I love Kylie Minogue. Disco is a great album, oh, but like so people were making like disco pop music. They were not making like brat music post COVID. No. And the ones that were like the minority. But now that like brat is out and it has become such a thing, such
it's
an
so
event.
Big.
And
like I've been fans of Charlie for so long. I'm like, this is unprecedented, truly, how many people are like
yeah.
engaged right now.
And I mean,
which
I'd
love to see,
fans,
but.
Charlie
crazy.
Fans have always been hyper online. I mean, there oh, were yeah. so many memes about Pop 2. There were so many memes
oh,
about
endlessly.
Like Crash. We had this same moment when she got the fuck me Bob with the red tips. Mm-hmm. Like the Charlie Gunn meme has been in circulation like I
oh,
think
in our
almost
like
8 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah, easily.
That's been around. She's had that
Well,
audience,
I think it's also like the Y2K resurgence that's been going on for years
yeah,
now. It's like part of it. Like Katie's those photos she did last week were very like
yeah.
okay, you're kind of late, but
you're trying to tap an audience with Katy Perry. But it's interesting too because like what I'm getting at also is that like I think what people are feeling the pressure with Charlie specifically is that like Taylor Swift, if you really look at what Taylor Swift's marketing campaign strategies are, is she wants to completely dominate the conversation because the way that she moves records, sells stadiums, gets the deals that she gets, is as ubiquitous as she is certainly because she has a lot of fans, but also because the way that she has been enriched through her career, she has the ability to like buy ad space on every surface in America,
yep.
pump the internet
partner
full
with
of things,
any brand
like
at any time,
surge things with content, surge things to her
also,
fans. She has all of this like network of like Instagram accounts that she gives things to. Like
when we tell you how much her art, anything about her or around her, is at like every other headline I read. It's not even every other headlines. Most of
yeah.
the headlines. It's like 70% tabloids
strategic,
are
right? Like,
yeah.
That
her
is how you
gives
become
them everything.
The biggest pop star in the world by those rules that we kind of live in now is like, you have to do that, right? Because because what happens with Charlie XCX with Brat is not something that can be replicated. It's not a formula. It is not something that can be just like mass produced. And so what Taylor Swift has done is, instead of doing that, just completely flooded the market with herself. We just saw this with her re-releases for, you know, whatever that last album was.
Of Dead Poets, whatever.
Like, you know, people are like, Charlie does not have as much cultural impact as Taylor Swift. But like, honestly speaking, besides like hardcore Swifties, like,
yeah, because it's like a vacuum of a group.
Memorable
itself.
Cultural moment has she left in the last however many years? Like, truly, like a cultural offering that has like changed the way that we
see each other
or see ourselves.
I would say like, her like Red era ish stuff kind of feels,
I mean, I would
like
argue probably
relevant, but
later with the like re-release stuff. But I'm just saying, like, with this most recent album, it is everywhere, but it is one of those things where it's like, oh god, what's that movie that everyone always does this with, where they're like, with the original Avatar movie.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how like,
everyone
it was
saw
always
it, but
like,
nobody could tell you
everyone
what it was
saw
about.
It, but no one could tell you what it was about. That's the Taylor Swift formula, right? Everyone sings or everyone listens to Taylor Swift, but no one can actually, like, you know, tell
except
you
except
like,
for
a
the people who
thing.
Really can, and they're like total freaks.
And then they have to get into, and then it's of course because of the like marketing that she does, the like thing that they start telling you is like, oh, well, see, she wore red in this, and it's actually because it's a tie back.
You have to buy into like a full comprehensive like encyclopedia guide about
her.
But
having a thing like Charlie, where like just organically she has created like an entire like cultural moment around an album that doesn't even have real album art, that didn't have like a traditional album rollout,
she literally
where
made
it was like
the whole,
you know,
thing,
she had the music
theme. It's
video.
Like an aesthetic now, like the green, the blurry text.
Yeah, exactly. No, like the fact that she has essentially created a new visual lexicon online through like just her album art alone, which was a text on a green background that people, by the way, read her for.
They
were like, this is so corny, this is so
try
hard, yada yada yada.
I literally saw it and I went, you're all not ready for this.
And then, by the way, when she released the updated album art where it was like, Brat, it's the same but there's three new songs, so it's technically not, or whatever that album's called, that also became
even
another thing on top of it. Like, it wasn't like, you know, people like switched out using one for the other. Like, now, you know, anytime someone sees green, they're saying Brat. Like,
literally,
they're like,
she literally like recoined almost the color. Like, that's actually insane when you think about it. But here's the thing. Because guess who her audience is? Gays. That act like the LGBTQ. Like, you wonder who has cultural impact. Like, you gotta look at your audience.
It's like the way that she can just like organically do that without the money or the machine. And again, it's like we're living in an echo chamber of Charlie XCX. Of course, the music is not selling the way that some of her peers sell. And that's, I think, perfect for her, because it allows her to, as many people have pointed out, curate this like very specific audience that engages with her the way that she wants to be engaged with, listens to the music that she wants them to listen to, like sort of creates like a space for her to be herself and live outside of this like traditional studio system that like she really struggled inside of. I mean, we saw her sort of flounder over the course of like Charlie to Crash.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks a lot of shit about Crash. And, you know, I've talked a lot of shit about Crash too. Crash is a good album, but it's not a great album.
It's like a little messy.
And it is definitely like her sort of like last gasps as like a bona fide, genuine, like not a genuine, but more so like traditional pop star.
Yeah,
because
she was still within
her
contract. Yeah.
And she says that about that album. They wanted her to just be sort of like, you know, this like pop thing that she didn't actually want to do. And I think watching her break out of that and get to be the artist that she wants to be is really cool and fun, but also shows that like, as an artist, you can just do that, right? Like, we are living in a time now where that is possible for you. And probably
it's like
sustainable
refreshing.
For you.
I think it's refreshing for a lot of people. A lot of people literally with Brat are like, finally, like a club dance album that actually feels like relevant and current. It's not like,
and, you know,
super sanitized and boring. I love how we're talking about Brat again for like
no, but you know, it's in the air. We're doing an episode about it. But I will say also, like, I just got one of our friends texted us like this weekend, was like, hey, does anyone want to go to Brat? And then I was like, yeah, let's all get our tickets literally right now. So I organized like seven people. Yeah, like seven people, I think. So we all got tickets. It's also fun to like do something like that.
Wait, is it
with
the
sweat
show though with Choice of On, or is it specifically
yeah,
just
it's,
Charlie?
Okay. It's the sweat one, yeah. Which, you know, they just weren't doing a Brat show here with enough time.
Yeah, because it's too expensive here and I'm not about to see Troy, sorry. Don't care.
I mean, I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, you like Troye Sivan more than I do. That's also
I don't
helpful.
Like Troye Sivan more than you do.
Literally,
I literally thought that last album
so many times.
Sorry, it was good.
That's what I'm saying.
It was a good album.
I didn't enjoy it as much. So, like, that's why you would enjoy it more.
That's because you're not a woman like me and Troye Sivan, so you just wouldn't get it.
The tickets are also like $200 here, so it's
yeah.
Like,
the tickets were only $70 for
us. I paid
$45
for Charlie in 2019. I know she's blown up more since then, but as somebody paid $45,
I will say my point was that
yeah.
When I looked at those tickets originally, that was when people were like, "This album is not selling. They're not going to get that much." Da da da.
Oh, and then guess fucking what, honey?
When I after Brat, when I went back and I looked at those tickets, there were basically no tickets left. I was looking at all the sections, and it was like one ticket left.
Yep.
Two tickets.
Oh,
left,
all of mine are
one
resale
ticket
now.
Left.
At least every
two
ticket's
tickets,
resale.
And they were all resale. Everything yeah. I bought was resale. So I'm just saying, I think she's gonna do pretty well with
oh,
that.
She's
arena
taking
tour.
It. Yeah, she's taking it.
And I hope she keeps making music in this vein, and I hope that she just sort of releases it like she did this, and I hope we get a new Charlie album every year now, like, honestly.
I also feel like, not to take it to, like, this place, but I just feel like, Lily, after Brat 2, I'm just like, Sophie's impact just feels so, like, real at this point, where I'm like, it's yeah. truly never, like, often imitated, never duplicated, of course, but I'm so happy yeah. to see, like, that sound, like, make it. It's kind of exciting.
I think, like, we're just talking about Brat now, but I think the thing that... You know, listen, when I first heard her talking about the Sophie song on that album, yeah. I was like, I had a really bad reaction
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, you were
it,
not
and I,
enjoying it.
And I stand by my reaction to it. I think hearing the song, I'm allowed to have my own reaction to it. And also, it is fine for her to talk about her friend. Because, like, we didn't know Sophie. Our relationship yeah. to Sophie is about as parasocial as, like, it can be in a normal way. Charlie actually knew her, right? Like, they were friends in real life. So I'm not going to ever tell someone how to feel about their friend. I think I railed against it because it was that sentiment that I see all the time with trans people.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and
it's
I've
like,
even seen this with other trans yeah. people that have died that I have known, where, like, people come out of the woodwork to be like, oh, like, she was such a shining star and I was so intimidated by her. Or, like, you know, like, she'd try to be friends, but I would always just feel like she was so much cooler than I was, or da 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 da. And I'm simplifying what she says on the song. I think it's a really beautiful song, all things considered. But I think I, like, reacted negatively to that.
You did,
but
yeah.
I get it now, but I still feel the way that I feel. But I will say, I still reserve the right as a day one Charlie fan to call her a demon, because she is a demon and she pisses me off. The way that I was so hot and cold on her by this album cycle is going to continue, by the way. And
that's
Brat's
how you know it's
going to be my number one album, but I will still be whacking her when I feel like it and no one can stop me. So,
you know what?
Katy Perry,
we can do anything.
You'll never
really? That's
be
all,
that girl.
That's all we
Katy
have to
Perry,
say.
Mama Katy Perry girl, we don't want to guess the color of your underwear, mama. Okay, get out of here. We don't want to see what you got going on under there. Scooter Braun retired.
Girl, again,
the evil is the evil is defeated.
Our impact, I think. Honestly.
I mean, we said that this was going to happen. We said
oh,
that
yeah.
he's like,
yeah.
We said that he was transitioning into a phase of his career where he was a liability for people to yep. be attached to. Them.
And once everyone started dropping him, I was like, it's a time. And I think he's. Would, it made sense to wait because now it doesn't look as connected to that when it probably was.
Yeah,
but getting this from Deadline, basically, it's pretty quick here. But there's a very long Instagram post that's linked out in the notes, and also just go to Suderbrun's IG, you'll find it immediately. But basically, in that long post, he, you know, said he wants to devote more time to his family and a CEO and board member of Hype America, which is like a bajillion dollar music company that manages like BTS and Jungkook and a bunch of other huge K-pop acts. So in the post himself, he basically just talks about how it's been 23 years, started when he was 19. Now he's, I think, yeah, like 42. And yeah, I mean, there's really not much to say. The post is really long. It's all about God and like all the people he's met along the way.
Yeah.
Nothing that interesting in it, to be completely honest.
This news comes out, by the way, shortly after Ariana.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Announced that she was going to be working with him still for business relationships. And people were like, oh my God, like, why is she going back to him? Da, 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 da. And it's like, guys, if you read the fine print, it's because she still has business holdings in Hybe.
Well, it's because like, it's still Hybe, yeah. So, like, it's not going to end.
Doesn't she have shares yep. in it, too? Mm-hmm. Like, that's yep. why.
Also, you guys, her like, beauty line is connected to it. So,
yeah, they not, were like, I think stopping. They were an investor or they partnered with it on mm-hmm. like some sort of like business
yeah, they're one
transaction
of their partners.
Deal. Mm-hmm. We have this thing about Leah McSweeney, but I would like to skip it because I would rather talk about Kenya because I have a bone sure. to pick about the Kenya
Ooh,
stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, the Leah thing is just like, again, speaking of like something blipping on the radar. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. But let's
so
talk,
let
about,
talk
Kenya.
About Kenya.
Let's get into it. Because we okay, talked about just, this last week. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we did. So by the way, guys, I can officially say, just to be clear, that any photo that you might have seen from this event where there's like a Getty Images photo with a penis in it on the screen. That is not the photo that was shot.
That is going everywhere. And I'm like, this is so not real.
That is misinformation. Please stop retweeting it. That is literally not what was shown. Let me set the record straight about this. Okay. So for the record, Kenya Moore, one of my favorite housewives, I'll be honest. Like, she has contributed some great TV to us. But yeah, she's also increasingly become incredibly desperate to make her show work in a way that is like hard to watch, right?
It's also getting pretty dark. With her in general, yeah. just like her so personal life and everything is very.
She is a Real Housewives of Atlanta star. She's one of the longest people on it now after Candy has left this season, taken a break or retired, however she puts it. And she has consistently done stuff like this, right? But according to multiple sources, she was at an event for her hair care line slash salon in Atlanta when she showed allegedly photos and video of the new cast member Brittany Eady sucking dick or doing escort activities yeah, as it has been described in other places
inappropriate.
On television screens around the event or one television screen or there was a presentation
they said posters it's, but then it's a screen yeah. I don't know
yeah. yeah it's unclear what exactly was going on but as far as we know explicit material of a cast member was shown. Now that is the information that we're working with. Kenya has said, don't believe everything you read. Brittany has said that she's going to like pursue this and is like really upset by it. Now, she had an Instagram live. She said nothing. Kenya did. But in the aftermath of that, I was seeing a lot of conversations online about how like, how is it fair for Kenya to get suspended, which happened shortly after the news of this started to really break the, you know, internet. How is it fair for Kenya to get suspended when Tom Sandoval was allowed to come and film for share after sharing like revenge porn of a cast
like
member?
So clearly different for multiple reasons,
now,
but
okay. So yeah. Let me just set the record straight before we talk about this. What happened with Tom Sandoval? One happened after cameras had wrapped. Raquel sued. After the season was filmed and airing, right? So that was not something that was like a conversation prior to the season, going into the season, or while they were initially editing and premiering the season.
Yeah.
First off.
Yep.
Two.
It was not a question.
It is
of
a untested legal accusation. Now, obviously, we know that the video exists. We know he filmed her without her consent. I'm speaking purely from like Bravo's employment lawyers perspective, HR's perspective, where it's like it's an untested legal claim, an untested accusation made by two parties, one of who that we don't employ, the other who apparently allegedly did this while they were not under our employment, direct employment. It was yeah. not during filming. These are contract workers. Obviously, Bravo is not 100% responsible in its own eyes for what its cast does off screen. And we've seen them bring people back after going to jail, after yeah. breaking the law, after having like racist tantrums. Like we've seen that. They literally employed people across the franchise after breaking the law. Like Monique kept filming after she jumped Candace. Candace kept filming after she pointed a steak knife and
Jen
threw
Shaw,
it at a, or a knife. Jen Shaw
arrested
was going
on
to
camera,
prison.
Basically.
So anyways.
Yeah.
First off, right? First off. Secondly, Kenya allegedly showed explicit material of a cast member doing yes. sexual activities with a anonymous third party that we don't know. You know, this might not be someone that is on cameras. It's probably not someone that she's married to, just going by what we're shown. On camera at a Bravo yes. event.
While filming
at a
with the cast.
Scripted, produced yes. event with the cast while Bravo was present, while Bravo was in the room, and literally they were under Bravo's employment. They were under Bravo's direct supervision. That is an entirely different story than Scandoval. An entirely different story. And that is not to say that, like, we have all the information. Obviously, Kenya has said, like, don't believe everything you read. Obviously, we don't know. We were not there. But Bravo would not pause filming and suspend a cast member as, like, beloved as Kenya, as, like, long-running as Kenya for nothing. Especially on Atlanta, where, like, they have let that cast get away with literal murder, right?
Also, a lot of people are wondering why...
Portia fully attacked multiple cast members and... is invited back, right? Like, let's be clear about what has been allowed across the franchises. And for the record, if we, like, want another example, what happened in Morocco, Bravo literally paused filming and has still not shown the season. So it's not like we don't have a precedent for Bravo pausing filming. It's not like Kenya is the only cast member in the history of the world to ever have production pause. And speaking purely of this time that Bravo is in, I think Kenya is, she is a victim of anything, a victim of horrible timing on her part, because she did this before the legal reckoning that Bravo's going through, before this, like, moment where Bravo is getting sued by former cast members, sued by current cast members, is under extreme legal scrutiny.
Yeah.
Extreme public scrutiny. Andy's being sued. The network is being called to account for things. The network is being, like, having old things relitigated again, brought back up, investigations, all these things. So, like, they would be crazy, just speaking from, like, a purely cynical corporate perspective, to not pause filming and pause Kenya while they figure out what to do about this.
Well, everyone's also like, why is it taking them so long to respond to it? And I was like, y'all, it happened during filming. Bravo is legitimately having to get their ducks in a fucking row before they say anything. Because if anyone on production knew that she had this image and was planning to show it, it's going to be a whole other issue. So, well, like, it makes sense why Bravo, NBC Universal is like, let's look into this for a minute. And then a week goes by and they're like, don't worry, she's out, y'all. Like, we're looking into it.
Of course, I also think that the silence is making it worse.
It is. I mean, it made it really messy.
Because not saying something is saying something still, as any PR person will tell you, right? Like, silence is a statement.
I have a feeling what happened was just truly like a, we don't know exactly how this went down. And they were very afraid to, like...
I mean, but again, those Atlanta producers have fucked that show
up.
So, like,
it's so messy.
I would not put it past them to have known that she was going to do this.
That's
really
what makes
me
almost think that they took a while, because they had to really, like, see, like, oh, how well can this be proven?
They're like, shred the documents, guys. Like,
purge the tapes.
Purge the browser
history.
Oh
my God, the server caught on fire. It's so crazy. You lost everything. Yeah. But the whole thing that was even more insane about this was Kenya Moore's Instagram live.
Yeah, I caught part of this.
Some people in our friend group, as well as even like Shamira on Twitter, were live tweeting. I wasn't able to view it. I was literally in the middle of like running errands or something. But Kenya had posted before, but also just before it came out that she was going to be on pause, that she said basically, like, you know, the real tea is coming tonight, you know, and follow my live coming at 6 p.m. Apparently she was late. And then when it started, I don't know, like 30, 40 minutes after it was supposed to, she literally was like, I'm not going to say anything until I get to 100K. And she never got to 100K.
Of course not.
Because,
of
like,
course not.
You're not going to get it. And so she spent the entire time promoting her salon, literally talking about anything else. She just kept saying, oh, 100K, you guys will get it. And then she never got to 100K after like 2 hours, and then was like, all right, well, I stay winning, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she basically was like, I accept that. Good night. And she just... And this whole thing is, she started the live late, I think, because it came out an hour before she started that she was going to be.
And I just want to say,
I'm
like,
girl, what? Like, what?
Like,
what are we doing?
Just to be real, Kenya, like, showing sexually explicit images of someone to, like, shame them for being an escort.
Oh, I mean, it's so stupid.
It's so,
so
just, like,
awful.
Low, like, just, like, low, like, just, like,
to me,
lowest
I'm thinking already,
tier
like, it's,
behavior.
To me, I'm
just
already thinking
lowest
it's
tier.
Probably not even real. Like, if that image that people are circulating, if that image allegedly is the real one, then it would be very Photoshop and, like, apparently fake.
It's just,
and
like,
that's stupid.
so indicative of the problem with Atlanta, period, where like every season they bring these people on to like scandalize them, right? Like to be like, oh, they're lying about their name. They're lying about their money. They're lying about, yeah, exactly. It's just like, guys, like, come on.
Like the whole thing with Candy and Portia, you know, like how many seasons ago now? Like 7. And then, you know, everything with the stripper. It's like, oh my God, you guys, like, just,
I mean,
can we do something
the Real
not
Housewives
as depressing?
Of say, like, you know, the Real Housewives of New York, for all the shit that people talk about it, the reboot and also the previous one, one of the reasons why the show works, in my opinion, is like, they all obviously know each other. You know what I mean?
Well, like, that's like the
Vanderpump Rules works because they all know each other.
Yeah.
On Atlanta, the premise is so contrived by this point because none of them know each other.
Well, it's kind of like with Dubai,
they're
where it's like you
just
all live
cast members
2 hours away. None of you actually have a friend group because you all live in your homes all day and don't do anything.
Yeah, no, that's also like, why Dubai doesn't work, is it just feels so inauthentic and like
all your
forced.
Jobs are just being an influencer and like so many shops professionally. I'm like, okay.
Dubai is so dumb.
I can't. I literally was about to start it and I was like, I'd rather just catch up on OC. Like, I don't need this right now.
Deep. And New also, Jersey's it's just so good this season. New
I'm
Jersey's
so
good this
sad
season.
I didn't catch up in time. After OC is done, I'll make my way through.
How real it's funny New Jersey enjoyers look when a fake OC enjoyer comes through.
It's just crazy too, because like, they keep acting like it's over, it's over, it's over, because there's no reunion. But like, everyone that's watching is like, it's really good. I don't know.
God, I...
Oh, I know. Anyways. I know. We can't talk about some things.
Do you want to get going though? Because I do have to get going.
You gotta get going.
I have to be at a Phillies game because I need to go see my husband Nick Castellanos.
Oh, thank God. I hope he's doing well.
They could never make me hate him, no matter how bad he plays this season. So, gotta go put on a tight little bodysuit and be like, Nick, come here. Nick, come here. I got something to show
you. You need to make it to one of their after parties.
They don't have after parties. They're all like,
oh yeah,
Mormon,
they'll go home to their like
families,
multi-million-dollar mansions. Yeah.
If they have parties, it's literally in like mega mansions without anyone there to see them.
We need
so.
You in the locker room for like a pre-show, a pre-show, pre-game interview.
I mean, they have some things going down in the locker rooms.
That's what I'm saying. You need to be there.
I would
there.
Like to see it. Yeah. I would like to see it.
Show me, Rachel.
Show me to me, please.
Show me,
Rachel.
To me, please.
Say it. Say
I
it
said
correctly.
Show me, Rachel. That's the abbreviate. I know it's show me to me, Rachel.
Show me to me, Rachel. No, it's show me to me, please, Rachel.
Show me to me, please, Rachel. Oh, come
say it
on.
Right. Pack it.
Let me get going. Let's get out of here. Yeah.
Three, two, one. Good.
Show me to me, Rachel.